This morning's readings are about authentic, radical hospitality. What does this mean? Well, Paul summed it up in his letter to the Corinthians when he wrote, "Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake in the one bread." That is, Christ demonstrates to us by the cross, in a revolutionary way, a universalism that does not require any to lose their identities, whether as Jew or Gentile, male or female, straight or gay, Mexican or white American, in order that we may become a new humanity in Christ. Because in dying for all, Christ opened himself for all to partake of him. Authentic radical hospitality is a biblical imperative. The creation story is of Genesis, where God created incredible diversity, is the root of this truth. Out of the formless void of a jumbled universe, God separates light from darkness, day from night, water from land, sea creatures from land cruisers. And at the same time, God binds humans to the rest of creation as stewards and caretakers to all, to be bearers of God's image, to each other, towards perfect completeness. Radical, authentic hospitality calls us to accept differences and also to embrace belonging. This embrace of diversity while binding one to another was the prevailing message that came out of this year's General Synod, with the passing of a motion for a self-determined Indigenous church within the Anglican Church of Canada, with resolutions towards combating climate change, with the removal of the prayer for the conversion of the Jews from our prayer book, and with the adoption of a word to the church which institutes a local option for same-sex marriages within our diocese. The marriage canon amendment did not pass, and there continues to be so much pain and tears over this. But the local option is what the canon would have instituted anyway, and it passed with an 80% majority, a resounding majority. The church is changing, and we're asked to respond with hospitality. This means we're called to embrace each other in our hurt and work towards healing, work towards forgiveness, and work towards reconciliation. And we can celebrate that the word of God is being heard. We're in an age of authenticity. Individuals have choices and alternatives and can freely move around without question like never before. If one feels the moral order has breached their own sensibilities, they can move on and not confront the breach with the goal of reconciliation. The ability to leave offers some protection from coercion and abuse, but it also poses a danger of losing people from the fold without ever being aware they were lost. The lessons in this morning's readings offer an alternative to fleeing and to excluding. They ask us to seek God, and by so doing, seek justice. They ask us to live our lives with authentic, radical hospitality. The word radical has as its root redux, which means, radical means root. The lessons remind us that the root, the radical aspect, is God. This requires us to take time to listen how God is leading us. It requires us to avoid distractions and worry. And by doing that, fearlessly seek reconciliation. Because when we stop and listen to how God is working in us and through us, in the context of our times, we are grounded. When we fail to do that, we're in danger of becoming ungrounded, prideful, greedy, anxious, and misguided, like Amos and the gospel warned. When we don't have our root in God, we're in danger of excluding our neighbor, or focusing our efforts in all the wrong places. The prophet Amos tells a story of how the Israelites have stopped seeking God's word because they have disassociated from God justice. Amos calls out both individual evils and also systemic evils. He calls out the religious hypocrisy of the day. He sees as merchants impatiently wait until the end of the Sabbath to exploit people, while the wealthy establish economic systems that lead the poor to sell themselves and their children in order to survive, and who trample on the needy and exterminate the poor from the land. How close is this to what we are seeing as some Christians align with the leader of the most powerful nation in the world, while turning a blind eye to the sanctioning of caging of children who are seeking asylum with their families? Amos warns us that the greatest deprivation is the absence of God's words. We lose connection between God and justice when we don't take time to listen to where the Spirit is leading us, when we don't choose the better part. This complete disorientation, riddled with frantic running to and fro to find bread that brings life and water that quenches thirst, is all in vain, because we're putting our trust in Wonder Bread and plastic bottled Evian water. We don't need to run about frantically to find God's word. In Deuteronomy, we're told God's word is not in heaven or beyond the sea, but very near to us, in our mouth and in our hearts to observe. Jesus shows us and teaches us what it means to follow God's word. Love God. Love one another. Embrace one another. Be authentic and show hospitality, and seek reconciliation and forgiveness when we stray or when we are wounded. In last week's gospel, we heard the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was the one that was least expected to do God's work. He was the one who showed mercy to the stranger. He epitomized hospitality. In today's gospel, Jesus has arrived at the house of Martha and Mary. And who knows how large his entourage was, because just a couple of chapters ago, we heard that Jesus sent out the 70, and I wonder how many of those are still with him. I love the connection between the gospel here and that of the Good Samaritan, because it links the Samaritan with these two wonderful women disciples. In the cultural context of the time, the Samaritan would not have been considered one of the fold. The Samaritan would have been the other, the lesser. And the women would have had their roles, but would not have been considered reliable witnesses to a Messiah. Jesus, once again, is showing how we need to embrace the other when he elevates the Samaritan and Martha and Mary as full models of discipleship. It's a radical social shift. And Martha chooses the more typical female role. But it's all too easy to condemn Martha. And it's not a fair interpretation. She's doing just what we praised the Samaritan for doing last week. She's being hospitable. But her frantic and panicked way of doing it removes her from the point of what she's doing. She's lost her grounding. She's lost the root. Her focus was on doing, and her anxiety obscured her that her focus should be on Jesus. I sympathize. How often have you been there when you seem to be running on a treadmill, trying to get somewhere, and you can run faster and faster and faster before you realize that you're on a treadmill, you're not going anywhere? And so it is that Martha loses her temper from the stress of having to feed all these guests with no help from her sister. And instead of focusing on Jesus, she's wrapped up in resentment of her sister and maybe some self-pity. Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha. He calls her back and he calms her and gently reminds her that her anxiety has obscured her from what is the better part. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." Martha's heightened anxiety obscured her from her root in Jesus. Martha is truly the focus of the story. Yet Jesus elevates Mary for choosing to put her focus on the Word and sitting at his feet and listening. This is a role not suitable for a woman at the time, yet one that Jesus does not take from her. And similarly, Jesus, by calling Martha by her name twice, is calling her back to him. The very act of calling us by name is a biblical affirmation that God wants us near. We are all different, but we are all one in Christ. It's also the theme of the General Synod 2019, "I Have Called You by Name." True hospitality and true justice are grounded in God. We lose focus when we lose God as the root and instead put our trust in wealth, power, or hypocritical institutions or canons that exclude. Amos, the Psalms, Paul, and the Gospel today ask us to turn to God and to live out radical, authentic hospitality. This requires us to embrace each other through our differences, heal, reconcile, and rejoice, knowing that God knows, loves, and calls each of us by name because of our differences. Through him, all the fullness of things dwell. And Jesus binds us together in one wonderfully diverse body of Christ. Amen.